I'm going to be standing here a bunch today to try and stay focused. I think it wasn't his CB handle the snowman? Smokey and the Bandit? Was it Snowman? Am I remembering that right? No? What was his name? It's not right? Anyway, I feel like him this morning because I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Core values, the foundation. And today is very exciting, by the way. We got some exciting stuff to get to. Lots of cool stuff. The foundational beliefs of an organization, core values, guiding principles, guardrails. They define the playing field, like lines in the various sports that we're familiar with. They show where the end zone is. They show how close you are to the end zone. In other sports, they'll show you the 18-yard box in soccer. It shows you how close you are to your goal. They show boundaries. They show what's out of bounds. They show what's in bounds. They connect the bases in baseball. Show you where to run, as if you didn't know. They mark various places on the field or court that are very important to know about. They define a clear understanding of what is expected. If you see a thriving, successful organization, they will have clearly defined and supported core values. And the opposite is true also. An organization that does not have clearly defined or supported core values will struggle to survive. Some of you might, though I don't expect you to, because sometimes you don't remember what was a couple weeks ago. But some of you might remember those words from 5 years ago. Between 2017 and 2018, we spent a lot of time here in our church with the leadership and various different groups. We did a demographic study. We looked at the advantages that our church has, the strengths that we have, what we could do with what we have, what we could do to move the gospel forward with what God has given us at this church. And we spent a lot of time putting together a new mission and core values at that time, and things were rolling. In fact, I was right in the middle of preaching a series on bringing people to church and inviting your friends, and then COVID happened. And it was rah, rah, rah. So it's taken a little bit of time to really kind of get things moving forward again from COVID. It's been 5 years. And so from 5 years ago, without looking at your bulletin, do you know the mission statement? Hey, good job. Look at that from the mouths of children. So yes, growing in God, investing in people. Good job. And that is, did you sneak that up there too early? So if Judah is behind me today, I told him last night, I was like, today is very important to not get ahead. I've got some things I'm revealing, and I don't want it popping up on the screen before I'm there. So if he's behind, it's my fault, not his fault. So if he's ahead, then that's his fault. So core values. Do you guys know our core values? It's okay. We don't go over them as much. Our core values next door, I was looking to see if I had any of my students here this morning. I was going to pop quiz them. But after every class, we do one clap, two claps, three claps, and then we say our core values, perseverance, character, hope. And I guarantee you, every one of those students know the core values because we say them every time. Now, our core values are a little more lengthy than just three words, so we can't say them every Sunday. But we do need to review them from time and time again. And today is a very good day to review these. There's a couple different reasons why. One, it has been 5 years and we haven't talked about them as much. And we need to do that from time to time. So I covered this in five sermons 5 years ago. Today I'm attempting one with other stuff. So we're just going to throttle up. Can you guys listen to me quick? Yeah, all right. So our first core value is very simple. God is first. Good job. In all things, following him, we can get that on the screen now, Judah. Thank you. God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. God is first. Not second, not third. Five is right out. First. Number one, in all things, following him is the priority. In all things, all, that means everything. Nothing is outside of this. It means all. All things. Following him in all things, following him is the priority. Following him. That's the terminology Jesus used many times, over and over and over again. The terminology of following him, to put our feet in his footprints, to go where he would have us to go, to do what he would have us to do, to say what he would have us to say, to imitate him, to do all we can to mimic his example that he gave for us while he was here on earth. That's what it means to follow. God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. We were very specific about the language of that. The priority, singular. There is no other priority. It is the priority to follow God, to put him first. And that is our first core value. And when we put these core values together, we thought, well, shouldn't that go without saying? I mean, shouldn't we just expect that Christians should put God first? But then as we were looking at Scripture, God did not leave it without saying. In fact, we see two very key points in both the Old Testament and the New Testament where God states very clearly, he is the priority. Exodus chapter 20. Does anybody know what's in Exodus chapter 20? There we go. Good job. Ten Commandments. And God spoke these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery, or out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Then God continues to go on to expound on that. He says, you'll not make idols for yourself. You won't fashion things to worship instead of me. You won't look at things to worship instead of me. Whatever it is, you're not going to look at it instead of me. Because I rescued you. I brought you out of slavery. If you're going to be God's child, if you're going to be part of his family, if you're going to be his disciples, his followers, then God is in first place and nothing even gets close to challenging it. God had no problem stating that. In fact, he goes on to the third commandment and he says, you're going to honor my name. I'm going to be that important to you that you're not going to take my name in vain. You have no other gods before me. You won't worship idols, and you're going to honor my name. The first three focused around that, about putting God as the priority in their lives. Jesus had no problem reiterating this in the New Testament. In this conversation that we hear in Matthew chapter 22, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first, the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So God had no problem stating it in the Old Testament. Jesus had no problem reiterating it in the New Testament. And so, as a leadership here, we had no problem voicing that as our first core value. That is the first expectation of us as church members here, that God would be first, the priority in all things, to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, as Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. This quote comes at the end of a section where Jesus is talking about worry, the section that David was just talking about during communion. The things in life that we have to be anxious about. And Jesus says, no, you don't have to be anxious about anything. You just have to worry about one thing. You just have to put your concerns on one thing. God. You seek him first and his righteousness, and everything else is going to take care of itself. He is the priority, so you won't have to worry. And that brings us to our second core value, that we are going to be devoted to God. And that means a full dependence on him and a complete commitment or a complete abandonment of self. devoted to God, devoted, dedicated, committed, steadfast, zealous. Devoted to God is defined through the Bible as a full dependence on God and a complete abandonment of self. A full dependence on God. This is not a 60-40 split. It's not even a 30-70 or a 20-80. This is consistent throughout the Bible. It is a full dependence, 100% dependent on God, full trust, living by faith. We don't turn to other sources for our security, for our provision, for our protection, for our peace, for our comfort, for our wisdom, for our guidance, for our morals, for our values, for our principles. We are fully dependent on Him for those things. And this dependence only happens when we completely abandon ourselves. Complete. Once again, the word, we spent a lot of time on word choice 5 years ago. And prayed about it and came back to it and prayed about it and came back to it. And these are 100% biblical. Complete abandonment. That's to leave behind, to let go of, to relinquish control. To totally let go of yourself, to leave it all behind. We're told in Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" This is a very strong statement from Jesus. We get so used to hearing this. I want us to kind of pause our minds a little bit and understand how strong of a statement this is from Jesus at his time with his listeners. If you want to be my disciple, that's a follower of him, and that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants disciples. He wants people to follow him. He wants people to have a relationship with the Father by following him. That's why he came to earth. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead. That is the central message of the Bible. But here's the deal. Jesus didn't make that decision for the faint of heart. Following him comes at a cost. He says, if you want to follow him, which is what he wants, it's what God wants, but if it is what you want, then Jesus says, if you want to follow me, it means complete abandonment of self and a full dependence on him. In this passage and passages like it, Jesus leaves no wiggle room, zero wiggle room. He's not going for partial dedication. Jesus wants it all. He says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow God's will in your life, then here's what it looks like. Here's the picture. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow me. Those are Jesus' words. See, the original crowd that Jesus shared this with, they would have not have pictured the cross as a decorative piece of jewelry. Their minds would have immediately gone to the cruel, painful, shameful instrument of death that it was in their time. It was not a connection to anything joyous or wonderful when they first heard these words. They were on the other side of the resurrection and crucifixion. So for them to hear these words, the only imagery that the disciples had to connect this statement to were the many times that they had witnessed the Roman crucifixions in their lifetime. Jesus wants followers to stop at nothing, that nothing would turn them away, that nothing would deter his followers, that nothing would sway his disciples, not even a grotesque instrument of death. That's what they heard when Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." They understood Jesus is asking for full dedication, complete abandonment of self. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and be willing to endure shame in his name, pain for his cause, ridicule for sharing his message, scorn for his mission, rejection from the world because you have declared allegiance to Christ, full dedication. Now, on this side of the cross, we get more of a holistic picture of what all of this means. We understand that the cross is a symbol not only of pain, but of reward. Not only of ridicule, but of joy. Not only of sacrifice, but of life as well. And the cross has become an endearing symbol to all of us. A symbol of hope and power. But we need to understand that this understanding of full devotion, full dedication, that was connected to the cross. We can't forget that the cross was not always a piece of decorative jewelry. It was an instrument of death. Full surrender, just like Jesus. He exemplified what that looks like on the cross. Here's what it looks like to abandon yourself. Here's what it looks like to wave the white flag. Here's what it looks like for 100% full surrender, full dedication, full devotion. He led the way, and he showed in the most physical example you could give of what it means to take up your cross. Jesus stayed the course. He did not sway. He did not deviate. He stayed focused. He stayed locked on his target. No matter what obstacles came up, he denied himself and he took up his cross and he was devoted. And he asked us to do the same. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. That's what it means to be devoted to God. One of my favorite passages on this subject is Romans 12. Paul writes, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To be transformed by the renewal of our minds, to be made more like Christ. And the way we do that is we're a living sacrifice. And I think this is a pretty, when you think of the words, it seems very, very much like a paradox, where not like a pair of places, not like two places where ships would park. That's a pair of docks, but a paradox. Where, yeah, terrible. Where he's saying that you need to be a living sacrifice. We hear that enough that we're like, we don't think that's strange, but if you think about those words, that's very strange to hear those words together. We are a sacrifice that gets back up on the altar. We continue to sacrifice. We continue to give ourselves. That's a living sacrifice. That's the devotion that God looks for. That's the devotion that God desires from us, expects from us. And so as a leadership, we thought it was absolutely necessary that would be part of our core values. This is what God expects of his followers. It's what we expect of our church. Matthew chapter 4, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. We read this and we think it's fiction sometimes. It's a storybook. It's not. These guys followed Jesus. They left everything. They left their nets. Continue reading. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So Peter and Andrew, they left their nets. They left their livelihood. They left their job. Peter or James and John, they left the family business. They left their father. and their father's boats to follow this carpenter, son of a carpenter from Nazarene. That's devotion. What was the catalyst behind them leaving everything? What did Jesus say? Come follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Which brings us to core value number three. Growing God's kingdom. Increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. God wants people to know him. God wants people to be saved through the gospel of Jesus. And we are to be active parts in that. We are the means through which God's kingdom grows. And this happens by increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus to invest into other people. Not just to lead them to salvation, not just to lead them to the baptistry, but to lead them into a life in the kingdom. That's making disciples. To partner with them, to walk with them. Actively making disciples themselves. Disciples that make disciples. That's Jesus's growth plan for the church. The very famous Great Commission in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Go. Therefore, go. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. Me? Yes. Yes. Every one of you. If you're a disciple of Jesus, go make more disciples. That's our job as disciples. You make disciples, you baptize them, and you stick with them, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. This was not a wish or a desire expressed by Jesus. This wasn't just the job of certain people that were so gifted or certain people that had an outgoing personality. It wasn't based on personality. It wasn't based on how long you've been a Christian. It wasn't based on how well you know the word. It was your disciple. Go make disciples. It's pretty simple. We overcomplicate things so often. Jesus prefaces this statement by reminding them that he is in full authority. He has every right to tell us what to do. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. We have issues with authority. Jesus is a trusted authority figure. He has full authority in heaven and on earth, and he commands us, go. Go. This authority statement is twofold. Not only does Jesus have the authority to tell us what to do, but he also empowers us to do what he has told us to do. I'm with you to the very end of the age. Who's with us? The guy that has full authority and full power over heaven and earth. And he says, here, you go do this. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll be there with you. I'll be empowering you. The king of the kingdom goes with us to make more disciples. Quantity and quality. Quantity is numbers, that's increasing. Quality is value, that's developing. Growing God's kingdom, increasing quantity. And developing quality, devoted disciples of Jesus. Luke records Jesus saying, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he is fully trained will be like his teacher." You're not above Jesus, but any one of us that have been fully trained up in him should look like him, should behave like him, should be doing the things that he did when he was here on earth. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If we're trained up to be like our teacher, shouldn't we be about the same business that Jesus was about? Shouldn't we look more and more like Jesus, not just in our personal behavior and the things that we've been talking about the past 6 weeks about the spiritual war internally, but we should also look more like Jesus externally in the things that we do and the way that we handle the message of salvation that we've been given, that we are carrying in these little Tupperware containers, these jars of clay that contain this treasure of the gospel. Jesus grew the kingdom by investing in people's lives, and he reached out to all kinds of people. Paul picked up on this. Paul became like his teacher. In 1 Corinthians, he says, For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I have become a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Paul's very clear here that to become a Jew to the Jews or to become a Gentile to the Gentiles, when Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, they both did so without compromising their beliefs and convictions, their values or their morals. They were able to be in Rome and not do as the Romans did, so to speak. Jesus could hang out with a room full of boisterous sinners and not sin. Paul could hang out with all sorts of people, this huge list that he shares, and still act like a kingdom member himself. We are never asked to sacrifice our morals, values, and principles. Our obedience to Jesus and his commands, we're never asked to sacrifice those, compromise those, for the sake of investing into others. But listen, we're also never told to use our morals, our values, and principles as an excuse to stay away from people who need the gospel. You can still be fully obedient to Jesus' commandments and invest in others. Because we must be about growing God's kingdom. Notice how many times Paul uses the W word there. Wins. I'm going to read that passage. I'll read it quickly, but I want to highlight how many times he uses that word. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak so that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all means, whatever it takes, by all means, I might save some. Whatever it takes to win souls. That's what mattered to Jesus. That's what mattered to Paul. That's what matters to us here at MCC. Amen? That's why it's core value number three. Core value number four, actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward, actively investing. That's just a powerful combination of two words. Actively. This is movement. This is effort. This is drive. Actively investing. That's making a contribution with an expectation for a return. That's putting in with an expectation that it will result in something. That's involvement with an expectation that your efforts and time will be fruitful and provide a harvest. To actively invest means to take personal responsibility. Everyone say personal responsibility. To do whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Everyone say whatever. Whatever. We did a week of camp years ago up in upstate New York. And there was just a group of girls there at the camp. And they just went all around the camp just whatever. So, they all ended up coming to college. So that's not the kind of whatever we're talking about. It's whatever. Whatever. Whatever it takes. These are powerful words. Especially when you connect them to moving the gospel forward. Actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. He died for all. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." This is one of the many passages that gives me the ability to clearly say, it's not just certain people in the church. If you've been reconciled, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You've been given the responsibility of the gospel message, regardless of whatever your spiritual gift is. We all are responsible for carrying this message. The ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It's entrusted to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Church, we cannot be recipients of the gospel and miss opportunities to move the gospel forward. It's what we should be about. Each and every one of us must feel the urgency of winning souls. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. So we must take personal responsibility as we feel and understand the urgency to be controlled by Christ's love, or to be compelled by Christ's love, to be convicted of the message we know to be true, that he died, one died for all, so that all could live. But they only live through hearing the gospel, and the gospel only comes from those who have it, and that is us. Those who have been reconciled now have we're responsible for the message of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus. It would matter so much to us that we would do whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. And we also help to grow God's kingdom by our fifth core value, connecting with people. Connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. We connect with those inside the church, and we connect with those outside the church. Our neighbors, our coworkers, family members. And in both of those arenas, we are purposefully building relationships. And as a leadership and studying scripture, as we were putting these together, we saw three key ways in scripture that this happened. And that was through compassion, a heartfelt concern for others that leads us to action. Just like when Jesus was exemplified his compassion as he walked around earth, we heard numerous times that he had compassion on them and then he acted. Compassion shows that people matter, that you're thinking of them, that they're important to you. Service, a humble desire to serve or to give yourself to others. Jesus knelt and washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, and he said, you should go and do the same. Serving communicates acceptance and support, which is a helping act that strengthens others through assistance and encouragement to support other people, to lift them up, to encourage them, to be there for them. Peter picks up on the urgency of growing God's kingdom. In 1 Peter 4:7-11, he says, the end of all things is at hand. It's urgent. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So right there we have compassion, we have service, and we have support. And it's urgent because the end of all things is near. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our core values, they're up on our website. We're going to take a look at that in just a moment. I want to take a break. I've been just throttling. But just a quick reminder, you guys agree, are those not great core values? Things that we should all be living by? And I'm going to be sharing with you a tool to be able to remember those a whole lot better from this day forward. Before I do, there are a lot of really cool things going on here. I don't know if you kind of feel it a little bit. Attendance has been up. From the beginning of the year to, you know, the beginning of the year, our first month, I think our average, and yes, I think we had a snow day, but it was about 85, 84. Our average last month and this month has been 110. There's an energy. There are things happening. The ladies' ministry has really throttled up. If you guys have heard how that's going and what's going on there. And I want to connect them, do the best we can to connect them with everything else so we're not, we all want to be working together. But that's awesome to hear about that and to see that. You guys were very helpful in being able to update our database. That's going to be very important. That information is very important for us to have. And it's going to be very important for us as a church, because how great is it going to be to make those connections, core value number 5, if instead of just a directory with names, we have a directory of names and pictures? That's pretty cool. That we can do in-house. We don't have to wait for some company to give it to us. So you can bug us for not getting it printed up as quickly as you want it to be printed up. We've got another thing coming up. Tonight starts it. Dave, if you want to come up, I'll let you. He asked, where is that microphone? There it is, right over here, sir. Sir, thank you.
Is it on?
All right. Yes, sir.
All right, so tonight.
Is it on? It is.
So tonight we're going to start a program.
Did you?
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything?
Again?
There we go.
All right, so tonight we're going to start a program. It's not a Bible study. It's not a typical Sunday night service. It's a program starting. Basically, what is on my heart is everything Dusty just talked about. It's taking, investing in people and taking it off the screen and putting it to life. So tonight we're going to start bringing all the programs together. It's the foundation for everything that we're trying to do as a church. The women's program, getting a men's ministry started, getting a prayer warrior started. It's going to be a time of fellowship, just a few moments of that. I'm not a good preacher, so bear with me. But it's a time to come together and just basically start a program where we're going out and investing in people and investing in each other. We're going to go out and do things, actually get involved in each other's lives. I know it's weird, it's wild because of COVID, but it's getting back into the community and getting back involved in each other's lives and just growing. And there's going to be a lot more to it tonight, and I'll explain more. I don't want to take too much time up today, Dusty's time. But the name of this is J-E-S-U-S.
I almost put that in the bulletin. I had it, and I erased it because I was like, well, if he changes his mind.
Yeah, it's Jesus enjoys serving undeserving souls. And we're all undeserving, and we all have Jesus. So let's get out and just come and be part of it. There's something for everybody, and I'm excited because I see the big things that can come. Like I said, it's not my program. It's God's program. And it's a we program. It's not a me program. It's we. We all got to get involved in a. We'll just see how it goes tonight.
Sir, thank you so much, Dave. Give him a hand, guys. Yeah. So we'll see where that's going. And Chris is still gone, but Chris Beard wanted to get some things started back up. Was it directory? There we go. Was his brainchild of, hey, let's get this updated. Let's get more information here so we can have a better organization on the church and different things. And that was kind of phase one of his thoughts of he wanted to go back and revisit the ministry fair and kind of the dream fair, kind of put those together that we did before COVID, because our church is a little different now than it was when we did those back in 2018. We have a little bit of a different group, and we're a very consistent group, which is very cool. So that's something that we're wanting to get on the calendar very, very soon to see how we can better pad our current ministries, but also, more importantly, to look forward. And it goes hand-in-hand with the things Dave's doing, hand-in-hand with the things the women's ministry is doing. And what's really cool about this, all of this, is, Ryan, did you orchestrate all these different things going on? No. Chuck, did you? David, did you? No, I had nothing to do with these things either, which is uncomfortable, but it's awesome because it's God's Holy Spirit moving. Isn't that cool? And we get a chance to see this, and we get a chance to be a part of it, church. When we went through kind of our analysis of the church, we were looking at what our strengths are. That we are a devoted, dedicated group. We are well rooted. We are a real church. We are transparent. We're not a church of fake people. We're not a church that sounds like a rock concert on a Sunday morning. You don't have a preacher that's fake. I preach the word. I keep it real, sometimes a little too real. Gets a little uncomfortable. My wife's like, oh gosh, she said that again. Sometimes the elders have to say, hey, no, just tone it back a little bit. But I'd rather veer on too transparent than hypocritical and fake. So with those things, as we were coming out of 2018 and then COVID put a big stop on this. We were looking at doing some things to rebrand the church so that our brand would represent what we look like as a church. And we had a team together that's still a team that I text back and forth. I've been killing them with texts the last 6 months or so as we've been trying to move some things forward there. But we had a publicity team that was looking at this branding thing, and some members of that team that have a lot of really good experience and insight and giftedness for that. And so as we were looking at that, we were saying, well, we want something that represents this, And it goes as like detailed and simple as just what colors look like our church. You know, we're earthy people. Not in a bad way. We're rooted. We're indigenous, to use a word there. We're just regular people. So we're talking about colors. We're talking about a logo that would represent what we are. Eye-catching, because that's what you want in a logo, but not flashy, because we're not flashy. So after many, 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 many attempts, many envelopes or napkins or pieces of paper laying around that I was sketching and drawing stuff on, and some of that made it to the computer screen, and then some of that made it to the team, and they're like, no. I mean, we're talking years, like 2018 to... That's 5 years. And then came across this one, and we started making big tweaks, and then we started making smaller tweaks. And so I'm very excited to, here we go, Judah, our new logo. It's rooted. Thank you. And that's a team effort for sure. Huge team effort. Now, what's really cool about this is we have our five core values. And we all agree they're important and they're good and they're biblical. But they're not as easy to remember as perseverance, character, hope, right? But check this out. This is something I wanted to do with a logo, and I didn't know how I was going to be able to pull it off, and I kept trying to do it, and they were like, stop being so complicated. Just do something simple. And I was like, I really want to tie this in somehow. So if you notice, we have five branches. So let's zoom in on branch number one here. Look at that. No other branches attached to it. It's the longest. And in fact, now when you look at the logo, you're going to be like, yeah, that does kind of stick out a little bit. It's supposed to. God is first. See how it points up at the end? There's nothing else connected to it or touching it. God is first. He is the priority. Branch number two. This is the only branch that is obstructed from view. This is the only branch of the five that have leaves obstructing the view. And that's to help us remember that we walk by faith as we're fully dependent on God, as we are devoted. We walk by faith. We abandon ourselves, full abandonment, and we trust God. Core value number three, branch number three, it branches, and then the branches do what? That's making more disciples, growing God's kingdom. Branch number four. You might not have noticed it, but now you'll notice it, and you'll never not be able to notice it. It's narrow. Moving the gospel forward, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Branch number five. This branch is the only branch with the little offshoots. And that's all about connecting with people. All of those represent our connections with people, to connect with people through service, through support, through compassion. And what I just shared with you is very easy to find because it is on our newly updated and revised, which I was doing a lot of artwork the last couple weeks. I don't think I've cranked out this much artwork in 2 weeks. But we have a brand new website, the way it looks now. Wow. So if you go here, you go to the About Us page where we would normally find our core values. They're still there, but now we have an additional link there. The logo in our core values, you click that, and you'd go to this page that describes everything I just described to you about the branches. So if you didn't catch it or want to go for a reminder, it's right there on the website. And the website works on your mobile just as easy as it works on your desktop. Another cool thing about the logo. So we go back to the logo without the mission statement. So the two branches here all focus on connecting with God. That's the horizontal. And these other branches, the three branches, are vertical. In the Ten Commandments, God splits those between vertical and horizontal. The first five are about our relationship with God. The last five are about our relationship with others. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? To love God, to love others. So our mission statement was built out of that understanding. And it just so happened when it fit over, balanced and equal, that because of this, the length of the words here and the length of the words here, growing with God shows up on the two that are vertical, and investing in people show up on the four that are horizontal. So there's a lot of things you can take. And for just the average person looking at it, yeah, it's a tree. It's nice. It's pretty. It's colorful. But for us, it's a tool to help us remember our mission statement and our core values, what we are about as a church. And so it represents us as a church. And you get to represent us as a church as well. I will have these out at the foyer. We can go on to the next slide. So we'll have tan shirts that will just have the logo on the front. It's, if you look at the logos, there's minus one color. There wasn't reason to pay for six colors when we get by five and no one would know. But so now you'll be thinking, what leaf's the wrong color? So anyway, but that's something you will have t-shirts and sweatshirts. This got covered. I need to reprint these then. This does say, it just is hidden now. Short sleeve, $10. Long sleeve, crew neck sweatshirt, $20. So very affordable between those two different things. But that way, if you want something that's long sleeve and warmer, we have a tan version in the crew neck sweatshirt as well. These are not printed or made up yet. What we're going to do is we're going to have a sign up to find out how many you guys want. We're going to base our order on that. We're not just going to order just that. We're going to order so we have some extra. But we'll get an idea for what our church's needs and desires are and then base an order off of that. But I didn't want to just leave it at this. Sometimes, you know, people don't want a big old thing. Sometimes people want a little something, a little subtle. And so we went with a couple different colors. A dark green, I don't know. Yep, that one's next. With just this passage from Ephesians 4 on the back. Go on back, yeah. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is through all and in all. And then just the Miami Town on the front. And that can be short sleeve or long sleeve. The next one's the burgundy, and that's the I am, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus. And then this one's, did I skip the, this one's cool. So, and we don't have to, you know, throw things away or anything like that. But this is an idea I've had for years and years and years and years and years. And now that we've got this new and moving forward, this is something we can do. This is a shirt you could buy also. But this shirt was designed so that we can have a bunch of extras of these so that when we baptize someone, that's the shirt they wear. And then they go home with a shirt from their baptism that says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that's why we have the water waves there to remind them of their baptism. And so that's, I'm pretty excited. But that one only comes in short sleeve because of the color. And I did pick the different colors so they all work together. So if we're all working the car show together, or we're all in the parade, or we're all somewhere else, and you want to wear, you know, your shirt and your color, long sleeve, short sleeve, you're going to work well with everyone else. Even the two greens don't look awful together, but when you got the tan there pulling them together. So everywhere we go, someone's gonna have to wear one of the tan shirts, because that brings everybody together. So new website, new t-shirts, we'll be working. If you notice, the bulletin is very naked and bare. The old logo's gone. It's not on there. It's not on the prayer list. We're gonna have the new logo and the new things up on that for next week. We've held off. And we didn't have money for this, but we'll, there is some money available. We'll find out if it's something we're going to be able to move forward on or not. But One of the ideas we had in the publicity group 5 years ago was to put canvases in the front, on the front walls there as people come in, and have a big canvas with our logo. But at the time we were like, well, we don't want to do the old logo because we know we're replacing it. But then it took us 5 years to replace it. So the canvases got, so that's one of the ideas, to have a canvas on one wall for that, and then five canvases on the other wall with our core values. And now that we have artwork, we can move forward on that. It could even go so far, that sign has got a logo on it from before I was here. So that's 18, 20 years. It's a 20-year-old logo that's on the sign out there. We've had a couple logos since then. But if this is one that's going to represent us and represent our core values and our mission statement, then maybe that's something, you know, I'm looking into to that. So just exciting things going on in the church, exciting things moving forward, and all this is kind of happening at one time. It was, as I said, there were many, many, many sketches that went before different people, but it just so happened, right? At this time, at the same time Dave, at the same time the women's, at the same time as Chris. So it's a good time, church.